From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to the program where we are bringing the Capitol to you each and every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. And that's where we're starting the show today. Major pro-life news from our state capitol, as well as our nation's capital in D.C. State senators this past week voted to remove key pro-life language from the state budget. And we also got some good news when Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced that he has scheduled a roll call vote for Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse's Abortion Survivors Protection Act. This is a huge deal. Senators will have to go on the record. And we've got all of the updates and analysis for you on today's show. So starting first locally with our unicameral legislature, and this past week, in a shocking and appalling vote, five members of our Appropriations Committee unexpectedly voted to remove key pro-life language from the state budget during a committee hearing. This is an issue that we have talked a lot about on the show previously because it's a big deal. This is a major pro-life vote and a major issue here in Nebraska, because what this pro-life provision does is prevent taxpayer dollars from subsidizing abortion providers in Nebraska. And last year, as you will probably remember, state senators stood with pro-life Nebraskans and passed a budget into law that protects not only taxpayer dollars, but innocent human life by including this pro-life language in the budget. Now, less than a year later, the Appropriations Committee saw fit to remove this language from the budget. And to say that this is disappointing is an understatement. What happened with this vote in committee is truly appalling. When we're looking at what's been taking place in states like New York and Virginia in recent weeks, state lawmakers in Nebraska should be working harder than ever to protect and affirm our pro-life values. And instead, they're undermining them. And by removing this pro-life provision, they're not only, once again, opening up the door for taxpayer dollars to go to abortion providers, they're explicitly sending that money back. Because again, just last year, the legislature agreed to this language that ensures taxpayer dollars do not subsidize the abortion industry in our state. And the Appropriations Committee has decided to take us back. And here is what you need to know about this vote. First of all, from what we are hearing, the pro-life senators on the Appropriations Committee, those who it is well known that they would vote in favor of keeping this pro-life language, they were not aware. They had no idea that this vote was going to take place when it did last week. We have reason to believe that the other senators who voted no did know that it was going to take place. Five members of the committee voted to strip this language out of the budget. Republican Senators John Stinner of Gehring, Bob Hickelman of Omaha, and Democrat Senators Anna Wishart and Kate Bowles of Lincoln and Tony Vargas of Omaha all voted to remove the pro-life language. Senators Rob Clements of Elmwood, Steve Erdman of Bayard, and Myron Dorn of Adams, Nebraska, as well as Mike McDonnell from Omaha, voted in support of keeping the provision in the budget. So it was a 5-4 vote to remove the language. Now, notably, those two Republican senators, John Stinner and Bob Hickelman, who voted to remove that pro-life language, they flipped their vote. Both of those senators just last year voted to support the exact same language in the budget. And this is something that the legislature just went through last year. It was a huge issue on the floor. It was debated extensively. Pro-choice senators filibustered the entire state budget over this one paragraph and 100-page bill dealing with the entire state budget. And they ended up sinking and crashing the state budget bill multiple times. However, we were able to strike a compromise of sorts that brought new language that gave enough senators reason to vote in support of keeping this pro-life provision. And it passed, finally, overwhelmingly. People from both sides of the aisle agreed to it. And now, for some reason, the Appropriations Committee has decided to pull that exact same language that the entire legislature agreed to overwhelmingly last session because apparently it's too difficult of an issue and they don't think that it should be in the budget, even though it's appropriating funds, which is what the budget bill does and why it goes to the Appropriations Committee. And we've had abortion-related language in the state budget for decades. And what we're hearing, a lot of people have reached out and are contacting senators of the Appropriations Committee and urging them to reconsider their vote, which they should and can do. What we're hearing from senators who voted to remove the language is that they don't want this provision in the budget because they want to focus on the budget and not this issue. Well, that doesn't work because this is going to be an issue no matter what. Whether that language comes out of committee intact or they take it out, which they have now done, this is going to be debated by the full legislature because now pro-life senators will filibuster the budget and make it an issue on the floor and try to amend it back in. So we're going to have the same debate over this language, whether that pro-life provision protecting taxpayer dollars from going to abortion providers comes out of committee in the budget or not. Senators removed it because they didn't want it to be an issue on the floor, but now it's going to be an even bigger issue because they removed the very same language that was agreed to last year. They could have simply kept it in place, said, we've been through this. This is the language that was agreed to. They could still have a debate on it. But now, pro-choice senators have the upper hand because the burden will be on pro-life senators to amend this language back into the budget instead of on them having to remove it. The committee has done that for them, and it's inexcusable. Governor Pete Ricketts, who has said boldly time and time again that Nebraska is a pro-life state, released a statement responding to the committee's decision, saying, quote, less than a year ago, the legislature stood with Nebraskans and voted for a pro-life budget. Given what's going on in New York and Virginia, the decision to strip the pro-life language out of this year's budget is especially appalling. I urge the committee to reconsider this initial vote because how the state spends taxpayer dollars has deep implications for the dignity of human life and Nebraska's core values. And the governor hit the nail on the head. And that's why we, along with people all across the state, are urging the committee to reconsider their vote and reinstate this critical pro-life provision back into the state budget. Because until last year in Nebraska, the leading Title X grant recipient, which is a federal taxpayer program, the leading recipient of those funds in Nebraska was, in fact, abortion providers. And although taxpayer funding of abortion is illegal, taxpayer money still subsidizes the abortion industry via Title X funds. When Congress initiated the Title X grant program, its expressed will was that the funds would not be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. However, over the years, millions and millions of taxpayer dollars have been distributed to abortion clinics. Thankfully, in 2016, Congress passed and President Trump signed into law a new resolution giving states the power to divert Title X funds away from clinics that perform, counsel in favor of, or refer for abortion. And that's exactly what our state legislature did just last year. And it was a huge victory for the pro-life movement that was celebrated widely because it's common sense policy that taxpayer dollars should not be subsidizing abortion. And here's the thing, abortion providers who also do provide Title X services, they can still qualify and receive this funding. They just have to have separation between their abortion services and their Title X services. If an abortion provider wants to keep receiving Title X funds, they need to have physical, legal, and importantly, financial separation between abortion-related activities and Title X services. And that just makes sense. If the taxpayer dollars are intended for Title X, you can't just give it to any clinic who is engaging in abortion if there is no separation from that organization between the abortion-related activity and the actual Title X services. So this is all a huge disappointment and a big mistake by the Appropriations Committee to remove this critical language because, again, number one, this was an unexpected vote. The pro-life senators on the committee did not know that this was going to be taking place, which is very revealing. Secondly, removing that language does not reflect the legislature as a whole and the will of the people of Nebraska to protect taxpayer dollars and innocent human life whenever possible. And third, this is the exact same language that was agreed to broadly from people on both sides of the aisle just last year, and it should be reinstated back into the state budget because Nebraska truly is a pro-life state, and our budget should reflect those values. You can read more about this issue at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, and be sure to visit our bill tracker page so you can get more information on all of the bills that we are tracking, monitoring, and working on during the 2019 legislative session. Now, thankfully, last week we did get some very positive news on the pro-life issue. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced that the U.S. Senate will have a roll call vote on Senator Ben Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. We've been talking about this bill a lot. It's been all over the news. It's a national conversation that our very own Senator Ben Sasse is leading the charge on. And unfortunately, when Senator Sasse brought this bill, which simply requires that infants who survive an abortion and are born alive are cared for like any other baby and not left to die on the table, when he asked for unanimous consent to his bill, he was denied. But we weren't about to let that be the end of the story, and thankfully, there will now be an official roll call vote on this bill. Senators will have to go on the record and give a yes or a no vote on this issue, and this is a huge deal. It's going to be incredibly revealing. The vote is scheduled to take place on Monday, February 25th, and senators can't hide from this issue anymore. They will have to take a vote. And this is fantastic news. This is what we have been asking for. It's what we've been calling for. There absolutely should be a vote on this bill. It is too important to let it slip away, and thankfully, Senate leadership is making sure that that happens. Enough is enough. It's time that Congress take action and pass this bill into law, which would protect newborns that survive botched abortions by requiring appropriate care and admission to a hospital. This simply requires that when an abortion does not end in the death of an unborn child, that healthcare practitioners must exercise the same degree of professional skill and care to protect the newborn as would be offered to any other child born alive at the same gestational age. It's incredibly shameful and disheartening that we even need this legislation, and that when Senator Sasse asked for unanimous consent to pass his bill, Democrats blocked that request. Because currently, federal law does not adequately protect a born child who survives an abortion. And we've been talking about it a lot in recent weeks, for example, in New York. And on January 22nd, the New York legislature repealed protections of the state's public health law for an infant born alive during an abortion. And then following that, on January 30th, Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam endorsed infanticide while discussing an extreme late-term abortion bill that was considered in the Virginia House of Delegates. Governor Northam then doubled down on his comments and said, quote, "I don't have any regrets." After what took place in New York and Virginia and the commentary from lawmakers that has ensued, it's pretty clear that this legislation is needed, and Congress needs to act and pass this bill into law to adequately protect the lives of our most innocent and vulnerable. And thankfully, we will have that opportunity on Monday, February 25th. There will be an official roll call vote on Senator Sasse's bill, who released a statement in response to this announcement. And here is the audio clip that we received from Senator Sasse following this news that there will be a roll call vote on his bill. Here is Senator Sasse.
Well, it is good that every American is going to get to know where his or her senator stands on the issue of infanticide. A lot of senators in D.C. spend a lot of time telling people how they fight for the little guy. Well, here's a chance to actually prove it. We're going to have a vote on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and every single senator is going to be able to put their name next to their vote. It is cowardly for politicians to say they fight for the little guy, as long as that little guy isn't an actual 7-pound baby who's fighting for his or her life. It shouldn't be hard to protect newborn babies, and we need to pass this legislation.
We do need to pass this bill into law. We needed it a long time ago. And so once again, a huge thank you to Senator Sasse for continuing to pursue this legislation and champion the pro-life cause in Congress. And you know, we are so proud of Senator Sasse, not only for bringing this legislation and pushing for a roll call vote, but Senator Sasse is now actually helping to team up with our friends at Focus on the Family, who are bringing a major live pro-life event that will be held in Times Square in New York City on May 4th. Nebraska Family Alliance is the state-based affiliate of Focus on the Family, and this pro-life event that was just announced is going to be so special. I just love this idea. Again, it's happening on May 4th in Times Square, and this is going to be a live event. It's called Alive from New York. During this event, a doctor will perform a live 4D ultrasound of a preborn baby. There will be live musical performances and great speakers, including Senator Ben Sasse. And the idea is that thousands of people will gather to celebrate the preciousness of life and remind New York politicians who voted for this extreme measure just recently, remind them that the fight for life will continue and that these babies are precious and deserving of love and respect, and that we are going to continue advocating for the sanctity of life. And that's why an event like this, again called Alive from New York, can really make a powerful statement about all life, both in and outside the womb. And I love this idea. It's a positive message about life. It's showing people visuals, a live ultrasound, a live 4D ultrasound of a baby inside the womb. This is what we need to be talking about. This is what we need to be showing people. And again, this event, Alive from New York, will be taking place in Times Square on May 4th. And just last week, President of Focus on the Family, Jim Daly, he joined Senator Ben Sasse to talk about this issue on Fox News at night. Take a listen to their discussion.
Yeah, there's hardly a more basic truth in life than the fact that a little baby who survives a botched abortion and she's on that table fighting for life, she has dignity, she's an image bearer, she has worth and she has rights, and we have a moral obligation to provide the same care to that baby that we would to any other baby that had been born.
All right, this is what Senator Patty Murray, Democrat, who blocked this measure from moving forward, here's what she said about the bill.
We have laws against infanticide in this country. This is a gross misinterpretation of the actual language of the bill that is being asked to be considered, and therefore I object.
Okay, so she's saying this is already illegal, and your bill was about something else.
Yeah, I am pro-life. This bill, though, is really just about protecting those babies that survive an abortion. And the argument that Senator Murray from Washington appears to be making is that because no one is proactively taking a pillow and putting it over the baby's face as she's cold and alone on that table and smothering her to death, then there's no problem here. Because she says there's no one actively doing the killing. Well, there's a phenomenon called backing away, where the doctors just get out of the situation and leave the baby to die by exposure. You don't do that to a 6-month-old baby. You don't do that to a 12-month-old baby. They also couldn't survive without care. These babies have rights, and we should be caring for them.
Yeah, Jim, this is a really, for a lot of people, it's an uncomfortable conversation. They don't want to talk about the realities of the facts of what's before them in some of these cases. I mean, it's terrible. No one wants to think about these situations. I want to read a piece from the New Jersey Star Ledger, from the editorial board. The headline is "The Truth About Late-Term Abortion." They say this: there's no such thing as abortion moments before birth. Doctors do not deliver babies and then kill them. Well, I did cover Kermit Gosnell, so unless we're talking about him. The central conceit behind that claim is that women will seek out late-term abortions for cavalier reasons, and doctors will perform them with the indulgence of craven politicians. They say that when you talk about this, it's just a scare tactic. This is not something that's really happening.
No, it's happening, and people need to realize that. I think even the governor, in his description that he gave us on that radio show, it's interesting, they never complete the statement. They say that baby will be born, and if it's not viable or if it has a severe handicap, it'll be kept comfortable, and then the woman can talk to the doctor. And that's where they end the conversation. What are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about ending that baby's life. And that needs to be said, but unfortunately, those on the other side who believe in a pro-choice position, they won't disclose that to people, and that's what we're talking about. And I'm so proud of Senator Sasse and the other pro-life senators that are saying enough is enough. This is too far.
It's interesting to me that PolitiFact rated as false the claim that a baby could actually be aborted a minute before it was born in New York under this new law. Now, they went through an interesting discussion talking to an OBGYN saying, well, there would be hours of labor, the baby would be crowning, so technically not the minute before, but the day before, the week before.
Yeah, these are silly discussions when people are trying to equivocate about those kinds of arguments. The reality is what New York did was try to strip protections for babies right up until the moment of birth. And then they went out and they said, let's celebrate this and light up the World Trade Center in pink lights. Think about what pink has symbolized. This has been about breast cancer survivors. That's what the color pink has meant. And these are tough, gritty women. And they did something. They persevered. They succeeded. This is a celebration of life. And now people are trying to pervert that imagery and turn it to something that is used to celebrate death. It's wrong. And the American people happily know that it's wrong. The pro-life movement is pro-compassion. It's pro-baby. It's pro-mom. And it's pro-science. And happily, the American people are getting this more and more.
I mean, Jim, is that your sense? I'll give you the final word here.
Yeah, Shannon, I appreciate that. Latest polling shows that about 80% of Americans do not support late-term abortion. Even amongst those who support a pro-choice position, about 70% of them do not support late-term abortion. So the Democrats, they can go this way, but it is not what the American people want. And I think for us, we're going to say no, it stops now, and we're going to do all we can to help get that message out.
Again, that was Focus on the Family President Jim Daly with Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse appearing on Fox News at Night last week. And I just want to echo what Senator Sasse said, that the pro-life movement is pro-compassion. It's pro-mom, it's pro-baby, and it's pro-science. And it turns out that Senator Sasse and Focus on the Family aren't the only ones speaking out about this. In a meeting with the governor of New York on tax reform, President Donald Trump pivoted the conversation to talk about the issue of late-term abortion and what happened in the state of New York recently. And again, this was during a meeting between President Trump and New York Governor Cuomo on the tax overhaul. And during this conversation, the president went out of his way to change up the conversation and bring up this issue with Governor Cuomo and call him out, as well as Democrats in New York, for what they did with this new law that they passed allowing abortions up until birth for almost any reason. And when the president of the United States is going out of his way to bring up this issue in meetings with governors on taxes, as he should, you know this issue isn't going away, and good for our president for making sure that it doesn't. That's all the time we have for this week. For more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and partner with NFA to advance family, freedom, and life by influencing policy, mobilizing prayer, and empowering people so that Nebraska marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. NFA is the state-based affiliate of Focus on the Family and the longest-standing pro-family organization in the state. Join NFA as we stand for life and liberty in Nebraska. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.